This is Newkirk versus Steger Police Department. Mr. Peldiak.
May it please the court, Mr. Jacobson. My name is Paul Peldiak, and I am one of two counsel representing certain plaintiffs in this case. Your Honors, I would like to start this case by working backwards. I'd like to take what Judge Pallmeyer had ordered and then to analyze as to why we feel that it was not the correct decision to make in this case.
Could I ask you, though, one question? It seems to me from reading the briefs that the only person who has been unhappy with the August 2005 settlement and then the efforts in December in 2005 is Officer Ozentowski. Is that correct?
The only issue that was not resolved was Sergeant Ozentowski's pension.
Right. And so why are the other three plaintiffs on his side as opposed to on the side of the other four who think that, I guess, preferably the December arrangement, but in the alternative, the August arrangement should be enforced? Where's their horse in this race?
It's simply judged that the case was bifurcated. Certain plaintiffs claimed to be non-breaching plaintiffs, and they characterized the other plaintiffs, which are represented by Sergeant Ozentowski and his group, as the quote-unquote breaching plaintiffs, which we don't think is correct.
Well, aren't there pension issues applicable to those three plaintiffs as well?
No, there are not, Your Honor.
So what do they have to what do they stand to gain?
Well, Your Honor,
rejecting both the August 15th and the December 13th agreement. I mean, are they close friends? I mean, what is going on here?
Perhaps, Your Honor, the only thing we could do is speculate on their motives. I can't get inside their heads to tell Your Honor specifically why they joined.
But where's their stand? I mean,
but they're your clients, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Aren't they your clients?
Yes, they are, Your Honor.
Well, but you don't know what they're thinking or anything?
Well, they have authorized the appeal, and they stand with Sergeant Ozentowski.
What is it that if the appeal succeeds, what do they have to gain from it?
What they may have to gain, Your Honor, is further negotiation in the lower court, not only about Sergeant Ozentowski's pension issue.
So it's like to throw out the whole deal and start over. Is that the idea?
Well, it isn't necessarily throwing out the whole deal, Your Honor. It's just that there are certain matters that have not been concluded.
They want to renegotiate. You can't renegotiate unless you throw out the deal.
Well, is there a deal if we still have a material
term? Well, if there's no deal, then it's all thrown out, right?
But they're not better off. Because I gather you're arguing the alternative for this December 13th alleged settlement, too, but the other three clients aren't better off if it's the December. I can understand if the whole thing is thrown out, then maybe people might think that they'll do better, you know, in a new round. I mean, maybe they're right, maybe they're not, whatever. But they don't get anything more from the December arrangement. That was just Sergeant Ozentowski, right?
But it was a material term that prevents the formation of the entire
contract.
Well,
I know that
Your Honor.
You're talking about your other argument.
Right.
But it seems to me that on the merits, Judge Pallmeyer quite reasonably looked at the proceedings that happened in August and said everybody agreed. Maybe Sergeant Ozentowski had buyer's remorse afterwards, but everybody agreed. And we have plenty of cases where there are oral settlements that we enforce, even though people run into trouble trying to memorialize it in writing afterwards.
Well, Your Honor, I think if you'd give me a few minutes, I think it would become clear as to where our logic is going with this
There's another thing that I find very puzzling. I don't understand why you're not arguing that the August deal gave Ozentowski his pension. I don't understand.
I was going to do that, Your Honor.
But you didn't do it in your brief.
Well, Your Honor, I don't.
Says that reference to pension. Now that sounds very pregnant. Right?
Well,
but you didn't do anything with it.
Your Honor, here's the situation. Judge Pallmeyer enforced the settlement agreement. Now, what is the settlement agreement that she enforced on August 15, 2005? We agree that there was a binding agreement on August 15, 2005. However, that agreement was not the agreement that was ordered to be enforced by Judge Pallmeyer. The reason being is this. Her order, and in her minute order, or docket entry, states that the court will enforce the terms of the agreement set forth in the transcript of the proceeding and in the settlement checklist slash term sheet. Now, I think what we're doing, before we even get into this, we need to define some terms, the commonly accepted meanings of terms, which nobody has done yet. Everybody thinks we know what we're talking about. Yes, Your Honor.
Forgive me. What evidence can you point to in the record, evidence before the on-record assents to the agreement on August 15th, that a guarantee regarding creditable service was a condition precedent to settling? The fact that it became an issue after the fact does not speak at all to whether, as you claim, there was a condition precedent to that effect. So that's my problem.
Yes, Your Honor, I see the court's problem. The answer is simply this. The settlement term sheet said that his pension would be vested, or not his pension, that he would be vested at 20 years. It says specifically, total amount to be paid in the term sheet, $425,000 plus leave of absence for Scott Ostentowski to 20-year anniversary date to be vested. There's the operative word, and that's one thing I was going to bring up. There are three terms we need to define.
Well,
by
and
reference.
So that goes back to Judge Posner's question. I mean, you have kind of gone back and forth from either saying there was no agreement in August to, yes, there was an agreement, but there was a novation in December, so a superseding agreement. And now you're saying that, in fact, you should be perfectly happy with the August agreement because it gave you everything that Sergeant Ostentowski wanted. It gave him his pension. It gave him all the rest of it. And what you should have done is bring a suit on the agreement.
Your Honor, exactly because they raised the issue. They said, we can't perform. After we agreed, we can't perform, so we need to modify. We want to write this out of the agreement that we originally gave you.
But
they
you didn't sue them for breach of contract. You sued to say that there was no settlement.
There was a settlement, there was a contract, but it was not the contract that Judge Pallmeyer found to be enforceable.
Well, fine. Why didn't your appeal say that she that she made a mistake, that what you just read and you know what's in your statement of facts was read to the court and the defendants said they agreed and so on, that's the agreement. And that's what you want.
Well, Your Honor, if I might say so, because the way the appeal is taken, it's couched in alternatives. And the last alternative was that there was no agreement. But if the court did find an agreement,
you,
it has to be
in your statement of issues, you don't say that there was an August 15th agreement and that Judge Pallmeyer mistakenly refused to enforce it, or she modified it, she enforced something different. You could have said that. And then what you want is your August 15th agreement enforced as read into the record and consented to by the defendants.
Specifically, as you stated, Your Honor,
it's so simple.
But, Your Honor, I think it's covered substantively in the brief. It is
no, it
stated.
Isn't. You have to put it in your issue. You have to make it clear.
What?
It's so simple. It's not as if it's a complicated thing to say. You think there was an agreement on August 15th. Central term is what you just read in that first paragraph, period. That's your argument.
And Your Honor, in the statement of the record on the transcript, Your Honor, it was mentioned that reference was made to his pension, that his pension is vested at 20 years. And that's what he wanted, a 20-year pension.
But
and it makes a big difference.
You're not asking to enforce the agreement. You're asking to vacate her order approving something different, right?
Well, that's correct, Your Honor, because we think that the parties, by their conduct.
So what's your next – what is the next step? If you won the appeal, what would be the next step in this litigation?
The next step, Your Honor, would be just to ensure somehow or assure Sergeant Ostentowski that he would get his pension or
well,
suggest
that's ridiculous,
alternatives.
Assure Sergeant Ostentowski. What is the next stage in the litigation? Right?
I believe, Your Honor, that the term vested is synonymous with creditable, and that he wants some assurance that at least that it would be creditable.
Well, what would you say? You say, looking at your conclusion on page 30A, you want an order reversing or vacating the district court's order enforcing the terms of the August 15th oral agreement. But that's the oral agreement you want to enforce. And alternatively, we ask for enforcing the terms of the December 13th agreement. So what's or remanding this case for further settlement negotiations? What's all this about?
Your Honor,
you want to enforce the August 15th agreement, and yet you ask for the opposite.
We ask to enforce it if it is as written,
say
as
that.
Determined.
Look what you said. You said reverse or vacate that order.
You know, I had the same problem, and because it seemed to me, reading the brief, that you were arguing for the first time that if the August 15th agreement was valid, then the December 13th agreement constituted a new agreement that superseded the August agreement. And what I was wondering is, does that mean that that Sergeant Ostenkowski is now willing to accept the department's offer to serve in the accident investigator position?
He would, Your Honor, with the assurance from the state of Illinois that that would count as creditable service toward his pension. That's the only issue that's left.
If the district court's enforcement order is affirmed, how much pension will Sergeant Ostenkowski receive when he retires? Would it be 40% instead of 50%? Is that it?
The differential, Your Honor, is that right now as it stands, with 17 years service at the time of this appeal, he would be entitled to 40% of his pension at age 60. Another 3 years or 3.5 years, he would be entitled to 50% of his of the amount of his pension, or it would be 50% of his last year's salary. And he'd be entitled to get that at age 50. So there's 10 years differential plus an 8% premium. That's what we're arguing about. It's approximately, I think, it could be about $180,000. It's a lot of money. It's a material term of this contract, this agreement.
Has he ever worked as an accident investigator?
To my knowledge, I don't know, but I suspect not. If they created the position, they may not have had that specific position before.
So he's been on a paid leave of absence?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay,
since August of 2005?
Yeah, I believe so, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
No, since the time of, I believe that's correct. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Powell. Mr. Lower?
Okay, I think Jacob. Good morning. My name is Richard Jacobson, and I represent the appellees.
What happened to Mr. Lower? Oh, he's not arguing. You're not arguing. Okay. Sorry. Mr. Jacobson.
Yes. Your Honor, addressing the issue that was raised with respect to the August oral agreement and the settlement checklist term sheet discussing 20 years, date to be vested at 20 years. That provision is a durational provision. There was no condition precedent as of August 15th respecting...
Well, I don't understand. I don't see how else you can read that paragraph 1, the August 15th agreement.
The August 15th... That paragraph in the August 15th agreement came out of, and that this is discussed in the briefing before Judge Pallmeyer, that language came out of a set of events where Sergeant Ostenkowski had originally demanded a four-year administrative leave, and that's in a November 4th letter from Sergeant Ostenkowski's counsel. Anything else pertaining to that. At the settlement conference that was on August 15th and the settlement negotiations, which were handled on a shuttle diplomacy basis.
I understand. They have August 15th. You have this read in, and defendants say it's fine. What's the ambiguity? Why didn't it end there?
The issue, I think, arrived...
20 years of service to be fully vested at 20 years in a pension, Ossentowski will then retire at 20 years of service. Right? 20 years of service means 20 years counting as to your pension, toward your pension.
Well, and it even uses the word pension in the same sentence.
Right.
It seemed a little
picky. There was... First of all, the village of Steger and the other defendants are not the people who grant pensions.
But, you solved that problem with respect to the agreement of the village board. I mean, you had people having to do things who weren't sitting at the table, I'll put it that way.
Well, there was one condition precedent, which was board approval. There's no argument that was obtained. But the body that issued, that determines... who gets what by way of a pension is a separate entity. It's
now,
a creature
couldn't you,
of statute.
With a separate entity, couldn't you have allocated the burden to produce a letter, an opinion letter, or something like that? I realize it would have to be a bit predictive, but I think to have creditable service, you just have to be a sworn officer and you have to be working, under the supervision of the police.
The answer is that's what was done. The record in this case reflects the conclusion of, let me back up, the first time the issue of creditable service is raised is September 21st.
On your theory, but that requires not reading that first paragraph that Judge Posner.
Well, it doesn't say creditable service.
Well, but it talks about pensions investing in 20 years, and so why else would you be talking about all of those things in the same sentence?
There was a discussion. Getting back to the point I was making earlier, there was a discussion at the August 15th negotiations regarding the word anniversary date. And we said, no, you don't want to put in the anniversary date.
Right, no, I know there are these days.
Why does the word pension appear there?
The word pension, which does not appear in the settlement checklist term sheet, does appear in the comments, the quote, reading into the record by Ms. Kurtz. The discussion that led to that came out of our saying you don't want to have his last day being his 20th anniversary day, which would have been January 11th.
Right,
you have to add some days to that.
That may help
him more than
it helps you. But let me ask you this. Why can't you read this oral agreement as simply placing on the village the obligation to give him whatever kind of position it needed to give him to satisfy the Illinois Pension Board and these other bodies that are the czars of pensions?
They will not make commitments as
I know, but their December letter was, it seemed to me, a very good indication of what it was they were looking for. Maybe there's still a 2% chance it wasn't going to work out, but it looked to me like it was a fairly good letter.
Sergeant Ossentowski took the position below that whatever we say here about the letter, that it wasn't satisfactory to him.
I understand that. I'm not sure that was a reasonable position, but
that was his position. If we're kind of trying to bore into what happened and why we're in the somewhat odd posture that we're in today, that is absolutely part of it. Sergeant Ossentowski not only took that position, but he took the position in the district court that there were two material terms that had not been decided, so there was no agreement. Now Sergeant Ossentowski is telling this court that no, actually, the court could find that there was a, or should find, if it doesn't find an August agreement, that there was a, or if it finds that there was an August agreement, it should find necessarily that there was a December agreement because there was a novation. I don't think that the language that was used in the settlement checklist term sheet or the language that was used by Ms. Kurtz when she purported to read that into the record.
She purported to read that.
She didn't read the provision. She added the word pension, is what I mean. And I think that under either reading, whether you go by what was read into the record or by what was written in the settlement checklist term sheet.
You mean these words, in a pension, she ad-libbed?
Yes.
So I guess the defendants weren't listening very carefully.
Well, I think
they agreed.
I can't comment on that.
Completely absurd and unprofessional, right? Having an oral, ridiculous.
In any event, what was being determined, credible service was not raised as an issue on August 15th. What was being determined on August 15th was a date when Osentowski would retire.
What is it you think these other plaintiffs are? What is their stake?
More money. If we go back to there's already been a history in the case, and I believe it's reflected in the record, of increasing demands. New counsel have come in. There's a split. Four plaintiffs have said, this is terrible what the district court did. And three of them, their stake is if we undo the deal, we can ask for more money. And they have asked for more money. And that's in the record below as part of the negotiations when new counsel came in for this group. And we still have a group of four people who are sitting on the sidelines saying, what do you mean more money? Where's our money that we're supposed
to
get?
We'd rather take a bird in the hand.
And that's in this bill.
The money is 5 years old, so.
This is an agreement that was reached on August 15th, 2005. And here we are. 2008, and we're up in the Seventh Circuit trying to figure out where this all goes. I would ask this court to simply affirm the decision of Judge Pallmeyer. The issue here is not whether this court agrees or would decide the case the way she decided it, but rather, was she reasonable under the facts and circumstances and given the record in the case? I believe she was.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Jacobson. Mr. Peldiak, does he have any time? But you can have a minute if you'd like. Or Mr. Lower, right?
Mr. Lower, sir.
If it may please the Court. Your Honors, I believe I can address the one issue with regards to Officer or Sergeant Osentowski, and that is the other individuals were his comrades. The underlying link with regards to the cause of action which arose was that they were collectively used and abused by the department, and that the underlying allegations were that the department was victimizing those other officers and also the dispatcher to create fictitious arguments and disciplinary actions against not only Sergeant Osentowski but also the other three members. They banded it together. There's no question about that. And also, at the point that they saw it unraveling, as human nature tends to do, they started looking at what if, as well as did I get a good deal. There is no question in my mind that they jumped aboard. However, the underlying aspect is that we made every attempt, and certainly in our response to the courts on the motion to enforce, to split off. We were willing to split this off. We would allow the four that stayed with Ms. Kurtz, plaintiff's original counsel, to remain with her. It was an all-or-nothing proposition. Moreover, we did have a Baptist versus Kankakee situation. We did not bring that. We did not argue that because we had the benefit of this court's decision in the Baptist case, but there had been a complete unraveling with regards to the positions and the confidence that the plaintiffs that I became to represent in March had with their former counsel.
Mr. Lauer, forgive me, but I could see nothing in the record from the August 15th hearing that would support the plaintiff's theory that creditable service was a condition precedent to settlement? It seemed as if that was Sergeant Ostankowski's subjective understanding of the agreement. And, of course, that would be irrelevant under Illinois law, which has an objective theory of intent, where the words themselves must support the interpretation as urged. And the record of the proceedings on August 15th belie the plaintiff's insistence that no valid settlement was reached. I mean, the plaintiffs themselves admit the counsel for both parties informed the court that on August 15th a settlement had been reached pending approval by the village's Board of Trustees. And if you look at Magistrate Judge Mason's colloquy on the record with each of the plaintiffs and the defendants as to whether they accepted the settlement, it seems to me that that further demonstrates that the parties had reached a binding agreement.
Your Honor, if I may address that, I would respectfully disagree. From the standpoint that the city brought in, the village brought in credible service, that became a subset, some further equivocation as to what the actual understanding of vested in pension meant, and fully vested in pension was the terminology used in and before the court.
That's why it's so puzzling that you're not simply arguing for enforcement of the agreement as written.
Your Honor, this is a more complicated case, and one of the aspects is that we were Johnny-come-lately counsel. No excuse, just simply the fact. And that the underlying aspect is we could have done it better, we may have done it very poorly, but counsel that was substituted, or we substituted, or counsel that was replaced, was backpedaling. The September 21st transcript of the events before Magistrate Mason, we were not party yet, had counsel for my plaintiffs, my clients, backpedaling all over the place, essentially saying, oh, well, you know, whatever we may have wanted to say, you know, she began to start to agree with the village. At which point it was Magistrate Mason that had to throw up his hands and say, whoa, wait a minute here. I think that this is a material issue with regards to pension. And that's why this then proceeded towards a long, drawn-out negotiating road towards the December 13th agreement. And we came in March. By June, we had essentially Judge Pallmeyer, with all due respect, and also Magistrate Mason saying, you know, a pox on all your houses. We just want to get rid of this.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lower, and Mr. Jacobson, and Mr. Calderon.